Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Architecture of Wealth. I am your host, Mark Struthers. And those of you watching on video, this is a podcast too, but those of you watching on video can tell from behind me, I'm a chartered financial analyst, a certified financial planner, the owner and founder of Sona Wealth. Here on The Architecture of Wealth, we give you the tools for well-balanced wealth building. You can also tell behind me, besides a few other knickknacks, picture my family. I have two boys and a dog named Pebbles. So I know what it's like to balance living for today, but still planning for tomorrow. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you the tools to have well-balanced wealth. It's not just about making and saving and investing. It's about the quality of life you have, the experiences you have. Today, we are giving you tips on how to deal with market volatility from an equity comp perspective. Equity compensation is something that's become more popular. And as many of you know, if you follow me at all, I love it. I love the fact that you're giving employees ownership. So giving employees ownership is a big deal. And it's incentives. They are incentives designed to keep employees. Most have vesting schedules. You know, it's incentive for the company to do well. It's incentive to stick around. When we talk about equity compensation, we're most often talking about non-qualified stock options or NSOs, incentive stock options, and other ones include employee stock purchase plan, restricted stock units, and stock appreciation rights. Market volatility can be really hard on equity compensation because, one, it's equity, and equity usually is hurt when downturns come, but also it's so concentrated. And especially here recently, we've seen a lot of post-COVID companies, some of them high-growth tech companies that have been really punished. You could think of Peloton, but you can even think private companies. So employees have been really hit hard with the downturn in equity comp. And most often, they're very concentrated. I have seen folks who have had, not an exaggeration, you know, 80 to 90%, 95% of their total net worth, not just liquid net worth, but total net worth in one company, their company, and not to mention they have their income is contingent upon that company. So they have been hit really hard. So these are tips to help you deal with the downturn. And well, here recently, not just the stock market, but the bond market as well. Number one, you know, do we have a drum roll? Do we have a drum roll, Sydney? Let's see here. Oh, we sure do. There we go. Number one, change expectations. The days of cheap money are probably over, at least for a while. And we've had a decade plus. Really, we've had no inflation or little inflation besides healthcare and education for about 20 years. But those times are probably done. So we've had what could be argued is an artificial, at least somewhat artificial environment. That's probably done for a while. You know, certainly at some point, if rates get high enough, the Fed, I think, will certainly might go back to it, might try to help the economy along, so to speak. But at least for the foreseeable future, those days are done. So quit thinking about the equity comp of as cheap, easy money. It's best to look at that as a, I don't like the word gambling, but it's best to look at it as something you should not go off the highs of any stock, but generally I would not focus on the highs of your equity comp and say, that's what I'm worth. You need to discount it and probably discount it by at least 10 or 20%. So the days of equity comp being a cash machine, especially for a lot of these high growth companies, are done just for a while, at least for a while. It's not to say that you can't join a tech company and be very well compensated, but we're probably in for, when you have rising rates, growth companies are hurt more. We've talked about it. We're not going to get into long duration versus short duration assets, but growth companies, especially those without earnings, you know, not necessarily talking, you know, over long periods of time, it's hard to believe the Apples and the Facebooks, but some, especially some of these higher flyers, but even those, it could be a while before they get back to where they were. Number two. I love that. Lower stock prices means lower taxes. So the volatility is not all bad. When you think about things like exercising NSOs or RSUs vesting, the lower the stock price, the lower your taxes. You know, especially if you're going to keep the actual shares of the stock, you're better off paying taxes when the price is lower. You know, we're going to have corrections. It's a fact of life. You can't have a healthy stock market. Without the risk, there is no return. So it's actually good. If you're planning on keeping the shares, keep in mind concentration risk. You know, again, if you have 20, 25% of your portfolio in one stock, especially a higher risk stock, that's scary. But if you are going to hold on to the shares, lower stock price means lower taxes. Number three. Number three is don't plan to use the funds for day-to-day living. So when you think you should try to live off your normal income, if you will, because you really can't count on equity comp, it's a very volatile asset, especially for NSOs and ISOs. Those are options. The stock goes down low enough, those won't have any value. None. At least with some of these other ones we mentioned, like RSUs, it's going to have some value unless the company's stock price goes to zero. So those are arguably more conservative. So if you're relying on the value that you see in your equity comp statement, that should be for something that you don't have to buy if the stock price goes down. It should not be for day-to-day living. So designate it for a trip. And if that doesn't happen, take a less expensive trip. Buy a less expensive car. All right, number four. Ignore. Do not look at your company's ticker or your equity comp statement every day, even every week or every month, even every quarter. You'll make yourself sick, especially when it's your company. Even if you haven't actually kind of said it to yourself, your income depends on this company. So there's an emotional insecurity there. It's natural. But do not look at it. And it's really, again, equity comp's really tough. Especially NSOs and ISOs can be considered levered. Those are more aggressive ways of compensation. It can be very, very volatile, and you have a lot concentrated in one company, even if it's a great company, like an Apple, like an Amazon. That is a lot of money in one company, and individual company risk, it intensifies that risk. You know, you think about companies like Boeing, WorldCom, to where you know, no one saw these things coming and you had dramatic moves. Even Target. Target's a very well-run company, very well-run. And they killed it after post-COVID. But valuations got tight, or through no fault of their own, inventory got stuck offshore and then came on. You know, you could say they screwed up on their inventory control, which is fine. But no one's perfect. Every company makes mistakes, and that's where you get stuff. That if you're looking for it for day-to-day expenses, or you are really wrapped up into the stock, any company could go down in the short term, especially when the overall market's down. So ignore it. You know, again, ideally, you're not going to touch it for a long time. This is a long-term investment, or you're using this for something discretionary that you just won't do. That's the healthy approach. Number five. Volatility is the new normal. Times have changed. Get used to it. We became complacent. We bounced out of COVID so fast, in large part to government action, the Fed, stimulus. And we had a downturn in 18, but otherwise nothing for 12 years. It's gone straight up. Stock market's gone straight up. And some of these growth companies especially, you know, some of them don't have any earnings, have huge multiples, meaning how much you pay for a dollar of earnings. They've just got really expensive. So volatility's back. You know, at least for a while, we're not going to have the Fed dampen volatility, which is in many ways healthy. So you need to get used to it. The price of return is risk. The sooner you get more comfortable with that, the sooner, you know, maybe you don't have to ignore your 401k statement, your equity comp statement so often. Number six. I need to time that better. Number six, make a plan. you need to make sure you know the concentration risk you have, and for taxes, you need to think about what do I need to exercise? Am I trying to fill up tax brackets? You know, what taxes do I have coming due? How much am I going to need to sell? Am I going to keep the shares? Do I want to take on that risk? Having a plan around taxes and risk is critical. You know, and it's really tough around taxes. You don't want the tax tail to wag the investment risk dog. But you should take them into account. And I'll say I'm guilty of this. I have a really tough time balancing. I look at a client that is, you know, half the taxes are taking up 40-50% of their capital gains or the income on the equity comp, and it's tough not to put it off. It's tough not to take on that concentration risk. You know, and just keep in mind, I misspoke there a little bit. Some things are taxed as ordinary income, like NSOs, and some things are the company stock is taxed as capital gains actually after you buy it with ordinary income, roughly. All these things behave differently. You know, make sure there's a reason we specialize in equity comp is because it is complicated. You know, we don't just do retirement. We also do, we work a lot with working families. So we do equity comp, we do education funding. So, but the bottom line is make a plan, know what you have, know the way that works, know the risks of exercising, of holding, of waiting, whatever it is, and also know what the tax consequences could be like. Nothing's perfect, but having a plan around those things, you know, if you're not forced to make a decision, if you have more options, it's usually a healthier, more profitable decision than if you're forced to do something because you didn't have a plan in place. There we have it. 6 tips to help you and your equity comp through this challenging time. So we'll get through this. It's the start of a beautiful summer here in Minnesota. My boys are finally out of school. My second child just did his second ACT. Didn't do badly on the first one, but we're hoping for a better score. And I'm glad they're both having some time off. So stay well, everyone. Have a great summer.